Good morning, I'm Pastor Steve, and a few months ago, I celebrated my 65th birthday. Now, I heard some people gasp out there, and probably thinking in your mind, oh, he's really old, you know, and I agree with you, I am old. I remember when I turned 30, you know, and I said, oh, that's not that old, you know. And then I turned 40, oh, that's not that old. And, you know, of course, during that time, you start getting, you know, gray hairs, your eyes can't focus as well. And, you know, then I turned 50, and I said, oh, 50, that's pretty old. That's like half a century. And, but then, you know, you say, oh, well, the 50 is like the new 40, you know, and so you kind of rationalize everything. But when you hit 65, there's no, you know, it's clear, you're old, okay? You're really old. And so guess what? I've been thinking about aging recently, all right? I'm getting lots of mail about, you know, retirements and Social Security and talking about wills and beneficiaries. I'm thinking about, oh, where am I going to live? You know, how am I going to downsize? Will there be stairs involved? You know, do I have to keep shoveling snow? Do I have to keep doing yard work? Can I even do it? And how close to my children and, you know, my grandchildren, that kind of thing. So all these thoughts have been in my mind recently, and so I'm going to share some of those thoughts with you, I guess. And I believe that's something that all of us need to hear about, not just those who are old, but I want to talk about this last stage of life before God takes us home, okay? I mean, there's no way to, you know, colorize it or whatever. And I recognize that most of you are not there, not even close. You're not even thinking. It's not even on your radar screen, all right? And, you know, some of you are teens, some of you are in college, you know, you're starting out in your career. It's the last thing on your mind. But the fact is that we're all getting older. Day by day, second by second, we're all getting older. It may seem like it's a long way from now, but I'll tell you, life accelerates as you get older, all right? And, you know, I know it's like, oh, well, the clock still is the same as before, but life somehow seems to speed up. And so I want to share some thoughts with you, because someday all of us are going to be old, unless the Lord comes or he takes us home early, all of us are going to be old at some point. And so for some of you, you're going to have to file this away to, you know, when you get old. Or a better idea is that you prepare now for aging. Because for a lot of people, having a comfortable retirement is sort of their goal. You know, they're working hard, they're saving money, and they're looking for the time that they don't have to work any longer and just enjoy a comfortable retirement. That's the dream of a lot of people. And I believe that God has something to say about that. That should not be our goal, all right? That might be the American dream, but that shouldn't be our goal. And then I think also talking about aging will help you to understand some of the people that are aging around you, like maybe your parents or your grandparents, or maybe sometimes it could be a neighbor or your boss or other people that are older that you have to understand a little bit about what's going through their mind and what are they thinking and what is their perspective. And you're certainly going to have to deal with a lot more older people because there are more and more older Americans than ever before. There are now more Americans age 65 and older than at any other time in U.S. history. And it keeps growing by the day. As more people turn 65, those baby boomers are turning 65, there are more and more people that are older. So you're going to have to deal with these kind of people, all right? So it's good for you to understand that. Part of the reason is because people are living longer. 100 years ago, the average person in America spent 3% of his or her lifetime in retirement. Today, in this decade, he is spending 20% of his lifetime in retirement. That's about a fifth of your life in retirement. And so you'll see the outline in your program. I want to first talk about different views of aging. I want to secondly talk about God's view of aging. And then I want to close with some practical advice. So first, some different views of aging. Let me share with you three. One is that older people are looked down upon by others, all right? That senior citizens, older people are looked down upon by others or our society. Our American culture certainly does not value those people that are older. They value those who are young. We are a self-centered and utilitarian society. That means they ask the question, how useful are you? Can you help me in some way? And so the younger generation may view those people that are older as a financial and time burden. They require our care. They impede us from that pursuit of pleasure and success. There's even talk about assisting older people to commit suicide. One governor in one of the states in the United States here said that terminally ill elderly people, quote, have a duty to die and get out of the way. All right? That's a real quote, okay? And so a lot of people see older people as just a liability, as a problem, and they are looked down upon. I would also say that older people sometimes will look down upon themselves even, that they see themselves as being useless. They have a body that is aging, that's more susceptible to illness. They have a decline in their strength. They're not as mentally sharp. And so particularly many people after retirement, they feel like they're useless. At least at their job, they felt like, okay, I can do something. But after they retire, they feel like they're worthless and they're a burden to other people. Many of their friends of the aging are dying off. They recognize that some of their friends, their loved ones who are their age are dying off. And they're obviously faced with the reality of their own death. And then there are feelings of alienation with their own children or grandchildren, that they are busy with their own pursuits and their own interests, and they really don't have time for these, quote, older parents. And as a result, many older people feel very, not only useless, but lonely as well. And then for some people, there's also financial concerns, because maybe they don't have a good retirement nest egg, okay? And they're living Social Security check by check. And so they're concerned about whether they're going to have enough to even live on with a fixed income. So many people look down upon those who are aging, and those who are aging even look down upon themselves. But you might say on the other side of the spectrum, there are some people who look at aging as a time to play, all right? The time to enjoy, a time to relax. And obviously these are the people who have money and also have good health. And so they feel like, oh, I've worked so hard my whole life. I've you know, suffered in going to work. I've sacrificed. I've saved money. And now it's my time. I have had kids. I've spent lots of time with them and provided for them. And now it's my turn to have some fun, to enjoy myself. And so they see senior citizen years as a time to just enjoy life, you know, to do a lot of travel, to spend money, to go out to eat, to go golfing and fishing and all those kinds of things. And I'm not saying any of that is wrong, but is that the goal? Is that how you want to spend one-fifth of your life, just playing, enjoying, and just relaxing? And again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying and relaxing, but it may be a problem if that's your only goal at that stage of your life. And so I want to turn now to how does God think about all this? We've seen how some people may think about aging, that they think it's a time where aging is just useless people and they ought to get out of the way. Some people obviously themselves look down upon themselves, and others see it as a time to just play. But how does God look at aging? And I wanted to obviously look at the Bible, and I want to look at two passages that are found in the book of Psalms. And we don't have time to look at the entire psalm, but the first passage we're going to look at is in Psalm 92, and it's printed in the front of your program. And I want to mention, again, we don't have time to look at the whole psalm, but if you were to read the entire psalm, you'll find that there is a contrast between the wicked and the righteous, okay? And this is a very common theme in the Bible, and particularly in the book of Psalms. For instance, in Psalm 1, there is that contrast between the wicked and the righteous that is there. But again, in this psalm, the wicked are those people who are hostile to God, all right? They don't want to follow God. But those who are righteous are those who are pursuing God, who are following God. And I should point out, particularly for us here in this context as Christians, that the righteous doesn't necessarily mean, oh, these people are the perfect people. There's the people who just, quote, follow all the commandments and all kind of thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But it means people who have received God's mercy and grace, that the righteousness of God has been transferred onto us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. He said, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." So, the righteous are people who have faith in Christ, not because and it's not because they have earned their salvation. Far from it. They recognize their sinfulness. But by their faith in Christ and what he had done on the cross, his righteousness is therefore placed into our account, you might say, so that God sees us as righteous. And so maybe for those who are older here, who are not Christian, maybe the first step for you is to receive God's free gift of salvation by faith in Christ. But I mentioned in Psalm 92, there's this contrast between the wicked and the righteous. And in we don't have that verse in your passage there, but in verse 7, it talks about the wicked is like grass, okay? That they, like grass, they quickly flourish for a time, but after a while, they will perish. That's how God sees the wicked. But in contrast to that, we read in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, which is in your program, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So when we talk about God's view of aging, God sees those who are older as people that can still bear fruit. All right? That's the first point under Roman numeral 2, that older people can still bear fruit. And the analogy that is given here is that the righteous are like trees instead of grass. The grass, again, may grow quickly, but it doesn't last. However, trees are things that grow maybe slowly, but they are more permanent. And they give the example of a palm tree. A palm tree can live for 200 years, all right? A cedar tree can live for thousands of years. And particularly for this palm tree is a very unusual kind of tree. We don't have too many of those here in the Northeast, but if you go south somewhere in Florida and the places like that, you'll see a lot of palm trees. And palm trees are very strong. They bend, but they don't break. They can withstand hurricanes. They have deep roots. And they still bear fruit even when it's an old tree. In fact, the older the tree is, the sweeter the fruit. Okay? And in verse 13, it mentions they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In other words, it's an intentional planting to be located in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. That is, it's talking about being intentionally planted in a specific location. And it reminds me of what Christ said in John chapter 15. Remember, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So Jesus was encouraging people to be abiding in him. And so I think this is a very similar analogy, talking about being planted in the house of the Lord, to flourish in the courts of our God. And then verse 14, it says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. And so the point is that the righteous can bear fruit in old age, that they're not useless impediments, all right? They can be useful. They can bear fruit. For what purpose? So that they can declare, to make known that the Lord is upright, that he is our rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. That is, they can bring glory to God. They can highlight God's greatness, his character, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. The fact that he is a rock means that you can depend upon him, that he is unchanging. And so one of God's view of aging is that you're not useless. No, you can bear fruit. You can be very, very useful. The second thing, view of God's view of aging is found in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, again, the second passage in your program, verse 17 and 18, it says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come." So the psalmist in Psalm 71 is reflecting on his lifelong relationship with God. And so he's talking about from my youth, you have taught me. And so he's talking about, I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. But then he says, even to old age and gray hair, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. Some of you have heard the term bucket list, right? I mean, it was based on a movie about two people that were terminally ill who just like, oh, I got to do these things before I die. And so it's a very common term these days where people talk about their bucket list, you know. And so for some people, they've got this bucket list in mind. I want to go see the Great Wall of China, you know. I want to go see the Grand Canyon, you know. I want to do all these things before I die. And, you know, and so people have these bucket lists. But what is the psalmist's bucket list in this thing? He says, oh God, do not forsake me. That means somehow he's feeling God, he's in some sort of problem, some danger. It may be some illness that he's in. And so he's asking God for help so that he can live longer to what? To go golfing? To, you know, go traveling and have fun and all that kind of thing. Is that the purpose? No. Until I proclaim your might to another generation. And so the second view that God has for aging is that they can impact the next generation, right? That God wants them not to just sit around and enjoy themselves, but rather that they are impacting the, you know, the next generation of people. And so he has this vision, the psalmist has this vision to hand off the baton of his belief in God, his faith in God, and the power of God to another generation. And someone had said, the Christian church is always one generation from extinction. You think about that. And that's very true. Because, yeah, Christianity, if we just keep it with the old people, you might say, then Christianity will be extinct. There was an article in the Boston Globe just this past week talking about a church in Medford, my city where I live, how it's just declining because they didn't have another generation in that church. And they had to open up, sell their church and move to a storefront because there was no passing on of the baton. Here, the psalmist is saying, I want to live longer. I want to, in my old age, be able to pass on the baton to a new generation of people so that there will be more opportunities for these people to know Christ, to know about his power and his goodness. And so let me give to you some practical advice of how we are to do this. We've seen that God's view of aging is that we can bear fruit in old age. We're not older people, not just useless people. They can bear fruit. And that older people can impact the next generation. Can, but not necessarily they will. All right? And so let me share with you three pieces of advice that may help some of us. And I know that some people are, well, all of us are at different situations. And it could depend on our health. It could depend on our financial ability and those kinds of things. So you might have to kind of retrofit these things to your situation. But one practical advice would be mentor some young people. or younger people, I should say. Mentor some younger people. Because if you're older, there's lots of people that are younger than you are. And so you need to be building into the life of these younger people. In order to do that, you have to have contact with them. You can't do it from a distance. You have to rub shoulders and be involved. You got to get your hands dirty. And the good thing in our church is that we have lots of, quote, younger people. We got people that were just born into our church, right? Just this week, we just had a baby born. And so there's needs in the nursery, right? Some of the mothers down in that nursery, and, you know, they have to put their whole attention on, you know, taking care of the child. And so when they want to come to church, they want to be spiritually fed. And what happens? They get stuck in the nursery still. You could do that at home, right? And so if there are some people who are serving in the nursery, that would free those parents up so that they can come and worship God, at least for an hour or two, okay? And certainly, there are many opportunities in children's ministry, in youth, in college ministry, working adults, married couples, new parents. There are lots of areas where older people can impact the younger generation. But you have to get involved. You have to make a commitment to get involved. It just doesn't happen by accident. And so younger people are looking for advice. You might think, oh, you know, those young people, they won't listen to us. We're old fogies and all that kind of thing, right? But believe me, younger people are looking for direction. They're looking for people who've been there, who have some practical wisdom to be able to share with other people. They have questions about career choices, about finances, about the spiritual life. And so you can build into them. And I'm excited to see some, for instance, in Project Destiny, where some people were teens and they became Christians through Project Destiny, through that summer day camp that we have. And guess what? Some of those people, after they went to college, became adults, are working, they come back to serve. Okay? They come back to serve and build into the next generation of Project Destiny people. And so that's the way it should work, that you should be looking for those kinds of opportunities to be able to have contact with younger people and to be able to build and impact their lives. And then, secondly, older people need to be positive role models. They need to be positive role models. Unfortunately, a lot of older people are kind of grumpy, all right? I hate to say it, but they're always complaining about something, whether it be about their physical issues, about their children, about the next generation. They're complaining. They like to live in the past, right? They're talking about the good old days and, you know, how, oh, back in the good old days, this is the way it should be, right? And so they complain a lot, and they focus a lot on what they cannot do any longer because of their physical restrictions that they have. And they are also resistant to change. They don't like things that are new. And so they're not empowering the next generation. They're not adapting and adjusting to new things in new ways. And so we need to, if we want to pass on the baton of leadership to the next generation, we have to encourage them. We have to support them. We have to be willing to let go, okay? And it's certainly, and we give this analogy about a relay race and passing on the baton, that some people are like, well, I want to hold on to the baton, right? How are you going to win the race that way, right? You have to be willing to let go at the right time, certainly in the right circumstances. And a lot of people, older people particularly, are resistant to that. And so people who are older shouldn't be complaining and whining and all that kind of thing and criticizing. They should have attitudes of joy of encouragement, of thanksgiving, and of praise. And we don't have time to look at it, but if you look at the two entire Psalms that, you know, we just took portions of it, Psalm 92 and Psalm 71. If you read the entire Psalm, you'll see that those people who wrote it were so full of joy. They're full of praise to God, all right? They're not complaining and whining, and they're definitely older people, but they have joy, and they're encouraging. And so they're full of praise to God. And so we need to model that to other people, to be good examples, to have positive attitudes. And then the last piece of advice I have is to continue to serve or minister. Or if you haven't, you know, if you never served a minister, to start serving and ministering. You may retire from a job, but you do not retire from ministry, okay? And Paul, near the end of his life, wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's what Paul wrote toward the end of his life. Does that sound like a person that's like, oh, I think I'm just going to enjoy life and, you know, take vacations and, you know, just relax with the last part of my life? No, he says he's straining. He's recognizing he's still in a race and he's straining toward that finish line so that he can finish well. All right. Instead of just relaxing and just taking it easy. And even pastors have to be reminded of this as well. I was recently at a pastor's prayer meeting of Chinese churches in the Boston area. One of the pastors who has already retired, his name is Pastor Gene Liu. He is the pastor of the Chinese, he was the Chinese pastor of the Chinese church in Lowell. And at this meeting, there were a number of people that were sharing, oh, I'm going to be retiring soon. And so he had this word of encouragement. He said that, you know, I've gone on a short-term missions trip to Trinidad number of times. In fact, he has gone 22 times to Trinidad, okay, on a short-term missions trip. And he said, I was trying to decide, should I go again this year? And he said, I decided I'm going for 23, all right? I'm going to go again. Next year, he'll be 80 years old, all right? And so that was a word that the pastors need to hear, that, okay, you might be retired, quote, from your position, your job, but you don't retire from ministry. There's still so much work to be done, and you still have lots of abilities to do different things to serve the Lord and to be able to bear fruit. And so at different stages of life, each stage of life, there are certain advantages and disadvantages. And so for older people, you need to understand what are those advantages and utilize them. For instance, older people have more access to other older people, all right? I mean, not even if you're necessarily in a nursing home or, you know, a senior citizen community or something like that, but generally your, you know, circle of friends are generally around your age, and so they are also aging. And for many of these people, they have no hope beyond this life. They might have worked hard, saved their money, you have a comfortable life, but they have no hope once death comes. And so we have that hope in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be able to share this with those people, because these people are thinking, they're wondering, is there life beyond this, beyond the grave? Is there something beyond this? And so they need to utilize that. And so older people have more access to other older people, and therefore they should utilize use part of their time to reach out to other older people. We had bought 120 Shawmut Avenue, and one of the, you might say, conditions of our purchase was when we bought this building from the South Cove Manor Nursing Home, was that they would be able to have these breakfast seminars once a month in our building, okay? And so we just had one last week, the first one in our building, and there were up to perhaps 50 older people that will come to these seminars held on the last Thursday of the month. And I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be good if we had some younger people to kind of host them, to kind of be involved in setting up chairs, passing out the food, you know, all those kinds of things, and just making friends with many of the, and then some of them do come to our church, but most of the people are people that are not Christian who live in this community, and they heard stuff about allergies, okay, health-related things. And so they're just looking for things that would be useful to them. And so wouldn't it be great if we had Christians who were involved here who could reach out to these older people? And so utilize your advantage of access to older people. Older people may have, especially if they're retired, have more time during the day, right? And so Project Destiny Autumn and Spring, right? We have people who have been utilizing mostly college students, people who somehow have more flexible time, but retired people have lots more flexible time. And so we need people who could be involved in teaching some of these middle school students, you know, whether it be academics or sports or some hobby, and sharing our faith with them as well. Some of you who are older may have large homes. Your kids have moved out. You have an empty nest. How about utilizing our home by hosting a welcome dinner, you know, for new people, or hosting a fellowship at your home? So if God has blessed you with a large home and it's kind of like not being utilized, how about utilizing it for the ministry? And in general, older people especially who are retired have more time. And so I know that for many of us who are younger, sometimes that's the thing we struggle the most with. We don't have enough time. And so we have a number of missionaries in our church. And I must admit, can I say we have too many for me to handle? All right? Because just like praying for them is enough, but how about communicating with them? How about sending them an email, a word of encouragement? I find it very difficult to do that. But maybe for some people, they could have the time to be able to communicate with some of these missionaries. And certainly, you can pray, right? You can pray for things. And so a lot of times, younger people say, I don't have enough time to pray. And so we need to raise up prayer warriors from the older generation to be supporting the ministries that we have. I remember visiting an older woman in a nursing home not long ago. And she was complaining to me. She was saying, I don't know why God is allowing me to live so long. You know, she felt she was a whole burden, you know, because her family had to pay for the nursing home and all that kind of thing. Why doesn't God just take me, you know? And I said, well, maybe he has something else for you to do. Maybe what you could do is pray for the ministries of the church. Maybe your job is to pray for me as the pastor of the church. because she felt so useless. She said, I can hardly walk. I can hardly get out of bed. I can't do anything. I feel so useless. And I said, what you could do is pray for me each and every day. Could you do that? She said, yes, I can do that, you know. And so now she feels like, oh, I can do something. I can be a blessing to the church. And then another advantage that older people have is, at least some people, they have more money, all right? And I know a lot of Asians are very good at saving money. And so they're not as worried about, oh, what am I going to do with retirement and all kinds. Well, how about utilizing what God has given you to bless other people, okay? I know that there's a couple within this church whose kids are, you know, graduated from college. And so you might say, oh, now we have more time for ourselves, more money for ourselves. We can do all kinds of different things. They asked me about sponsoring a seminary student, all right? Not anyone that's related to them or anything else like that. They just said, I want to support somebody who's going to be in seminary who might be struggling financially, and I want to help them, okay? Because God has blessed me with more than I need. And instead of just like, oh, I'm just going to spend my money and have fun and, you know. No, they want to utilize their money to help the next generation. And so you have an insert in your program today about the expansion for 120. And please take time to read it. But we hit, a wall. In terms of what to do. God blessed us to be able to buy that building. We've renovated part of it. But in order to consolidate all our ministries into one place, you know, so that we don't have to rent the school, we could sell the other buildings and just concentrate in one place, it's going to be like over $25 million. And the leaders in our church, we thought about it, we prayed about it. We said, that's a lot of money, you know. And we have to think, and we have to pause and say, we're not moving ahead until God definitely tells us we have to do this, all right? And so so we have some financial concerns as well as other concerns. But I could see a scenario where God could help us to move forward. That maybe there's some people who could give in their wills. $1 million. You may say, $1 million? We have millionaires in our church. Well, anybody who owns a house in the Boston area is at least halfway there already, right? To being a millionaire, right? And so what if those people, instead of giving it their assets to children who, you know, really don't need the money, but gave it for the next generation? And if we get 10 people in our church of over 1,000 people, we get 10 people who are going to give $1 million, I would say we could do this. We could move forward on renovating that building, right? And so, I don't know. That's a possible way that God could do it. But certainly as we have older people in our church, some of them have a lot of assets and they can't take it with them, right? They can't take it with them. And so what are you going to do with it? And so maybe God may direct you to utilize it for the next generation. And so let me close by directing you to, again, to Psalm 71, verse 18. It's Psalm 71, verse 18 says, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until, and the psalmist writes, I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those to come. In other words, I'm asking you to think about your bucket list. All right? And I don't mean, you know, the places you're going to go visit, the experiences that you're going to, you know, have fun and all those kinds of things. But what's your spiritual bucket list, right? What does God want you to do that if you, God were to extend your life into old age, that you want to do this for God? What has God put on your heart? Whether it be working with nursery children, preschool, teens, college students, what are you going to do? That if God were to give you more time, that you, this is what you want to do before you die. All right? And I think that's applicable to everyone, not just to those who are older, but even for you who are just in your teen years. What does God want you to do with your life that will impact even the next generation? And you think about that and reflect upon it. And, you know, I hope that you'll respond, not just forget about it, but really make a commitment to God, to God, if you will do this for me, this is what I will do. Let's pray together. Father, we admit that our world does not value people that are older. We value those who are young, who seemingly are much more useful. But that's not your view, Lord. You recognize that people, even in their old age, can bear fruit for you, that they can impact the next generation. And so we pray that you would bring this home to each one of us. Some of us are getting older. We got those gray hairs. We can't see, read as well as we did. And so we know that we're getting old. And if we buy into the world's view of retirement, we just think about ourselves and think about how to have fun. But if we think about things from your perspective, Lord, you want us to be concerned about the next generation. And so help us, Lord, to think through what do you want us to do before you take us home, Lord. This is what you want us to do. And whether we're older people or younger people, pray that this will shape and mold our remaining days so that our lives will bear fruit for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.